The primary responsibility that a church has, the reason that it exists, is to make disciples of the nations. That's going to encompass a lot of things, but at the forefront, there is going to be the responsibility to make disciples of the nations. There is a mission given to our church, and it's not to perpetuate an Appalachian tradition, but rather it is to carry out the mission given to us by the Lord.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. It's been said that a little change will do you good. And when it comes to your church, that might actually be true. On this Level Paths episode, the Appalachian Ministry Institute's Dr. Matt Shamblin explains why change matters in a church. Here's Dr. Matt.
Welcome back to another season of the Level Paths podcast. It is great to be with you. I am Dr. Matt Shamblin. I am the Appalachian Research Fellow at Tri-State Bible College. As you'll notice, there's a little bit of a change. You only have me as a host right now. Rex, our school president, has taken a step back from co-hosting the podcast. Rex will still be on from time to time, but I'm going to be taking the lead on the podcast from now on. We've got some great guests that we're going to have in the future, but it's going to be primarily me as the host. This episode of the podcast, this first of this new season, is on the subject of change. Why change matters in a church. I've been confronted with this reality, not only in my own church, but also as I have talked with many pastors, and they have talked about the importance of change as well. Change is a regular part of life. It just really is who we are. If we're growing, if we're healthy, we can expect the change. Sometimes change is good, sometimes change is bad. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, change is a reality. And so I want to talk to you about why change matters in a church. The first and foremost reason that change matters in a church is because as Christians, we have been given a mission by the Lord. And that mission is to make disciples of the nations. And so when we think about the importance of change, change matters because, as one said it this way, growth equals change. When there is growth in the lives of believers, there's going to be change. That also, we can think about that in the inverse and think of it this way. When there is no change, then we have to really question, is there growth? Remember, when we think about Appalachia and churches in Appalachia, what we're trying to do is not maintain a tradition from the past. There's a lot of tradition in Appalachia. We're going to talk about that throughout this podcast. But I would remind you that just because it's a tradition does not mean it's our responsibility to uphold that tradition. Now, it's true. Just because it's a tradition doesn't mean it's our responsibility to kill it either. But there's something more going on in our church and in what we're trying to accomplish than just maintain a tradition. In fact, when we think about tradition in Appalachia, especially in its relationship to churches, there is a strong connection. There are churches that no longer meet regularly, and yet they still have homecoming. Often they'll have dinner on the grounds. And I have to say, I think one of the most weird traditions in Appalachia is that many times these churches that have long since been closed will come back together for homecoming, and it's more of a community family reunion. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't do it under the auspices of the gathering of a church, because that's not what it is. And in many cases, those churches will have homecoming and they'll have dinner on the grounds, weirdly enough, I think, in a cemetery. Now, if that offends you, I don't mean anything offensive by that. I just think having a dinner in a cemetery is a weird thing to do. But those churches, that just simply represents, that gathering represents a maintaining of a tradition, but not maintaining of that mission given to us by the Lord of making disciples of the nations. Remember, the primary responsibility that a church has, the reason that it exists, is to make disciples of the nations. That's going to encompass a lot of things, But at the forefront, there is going to be the responsibility to make disciples of the nations. There is a mission given to our church, and it's not to perpetuate an Appalachian tradition, but rather it is to carry out the mission given to us by the Lord. When we look in the New Testament, we see in the early time of the church, Acts 2:42, it says, "And they committed themselves to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers." What we see really clearly is that a healthy church leads to gospel engagement. A healthy church leads to growth. That's a real key. Not only did the early church grow doctrinally and in their faithfulness as a disciple, but they also grew numerically. Think about this for a moment. There's no way to be a faithful disciple without sharing your faith. When we look in the New Testament, the outflow of who we are in our relationship to Christ is the outgoing message of the gospel. As it's said by one, the gospel came to you because it was going to somebody else. And so a healthy church leads to growth. A church cannot be healthy if it's not carrying out the Great Commission. Just because you gather together, just because you teach the Bible, just because you sing hymns, just because you pray, just because you worship the Lord does not mean that you're a healthy church. The evidence of a healthy church is going to be seen in the lives that are transformed, the lives that are going, the mission that is being carried out. You know, a few years ago here in Kentucky, there was a revival. That's what it was called. And really the question came, was it a revival? There was a lot of excitement. There was ongoing worship services. There was ongoing preaching. But the question is, was it a revival? And my argument was, we won't know that if it was a genuine revival until after we see what comes of it. Very simply, if it's a genuine revival, it's going to result in faithful disciples making disciples. It's going to result in faithfulness in the walk of those who participated with the Lord. It's going to result in people being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we can even go as far as saying it's going to result in at least churches growing, but ultimately churches being planted. When we think about revival, that fresh new engagement and work of the Spirit of God, the evidence of the Spirit of God is going to be faithfulness to what we find in the Scriptures. And so change matters in a church because the church has a mission given to it by God. It's not just carrying out a tradition, but as the church is healthy, as they're practicing and they're faithful to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, the growth in that church is going to result in gospel engagement, disciples being made. So change matters in a church because the mission that's been given to us by the Lord. But change matters in a church because we have a stewardship to be found faithful in our generation. And again, in Appalachia, that's not just keeping the church doors open. I would contend that not every church needs to remain open. In fact, I think that we can find that argument from the New Testament when we look at the churches of Revelation. Those churches there, not all of them needed to remain open. I think that would be the conclusion that our Lord made when he removed their candlestick. And so when we think of that, we are to be found faithful in our generation. Pastor, your position and calling by nature is a change agent. If you listen to our podcast very often, you have heard Dr. Desmond Barrett. Dr. Desmond Barrett is a dear friend of mine, dear friend of our Bible College, of our podcast. Dr. Desmond has an incredible amount of insight into church growth and church revitalization. And in a conversation he and I were having the other day, we brought up the idea of transformational leadership. That's what you've been called to be as a pastor, is a transformational leader. When we look to 1 Peter chapter 5, we see those synonyms for that pastoral role. And in that, you have been called as a pastor to be a shepherd. That means you're going to be leading the church to health, and just marking time is not an option. I would contend that there is no such thing as growth that marks time. There is no such thing as health that marks time. Something that is marking time never stays in the same place. It always goes backwards. It always is sliding into irrelevance and ultimately its own death. When we look at churches, most churches are resistant to change. We're going to talk about why that is in just a moment, but as a pastor, you do not have the responsibility to simply maintain. You have the responsibility given to you by God to be that hoyman, that shepherd, and you're going to have to lead that church to health, or at least do everything that you can to do that. That's going to come in your preaching. When you think about the responsibility and the role that you have as the pastor, one said that you are the physician of the soul. And so as the physician of the soul, you're going to need to give some prescriptions, if you will. And that prescription is going to come through the preaching and the teaching of the word. There is no way to lead a church to health and to lead a church to change if you are not faithfully preaching the scriptures. That's going to be artificial change and artificial health at very, very best. But when we look at that passage of scripture there in 1 Peter chapter 5, not only does he speak about that shepherding role, but he also speaks of that elder role, presbyteros. There is no such thing as a maturing elder that's not changing. Even in advanced age, there's going to be continual growth. One of my mentors is just 1 year of 90 years old, and he is practically homebound now, and he is still growing in his walk with the Lord. He always is asking about what God's doing in my life. He's always asking about the work and the move that God is doing in our church. There's no such thing as a presbyteros, an elder that's in a position of leadership within a church that's going to lead the church simply to mark time. I remember years ago, I was serving on staff of a church that had long since been stagnant, and we started to see some movement. People were growing. They were becoming excited. There was new people coming in. And I remember the senior pastor making a decision. I remember that staff meeting vividly. And he said, we need to slow down. We need to give people a break. And so he hit the brakes. And that church, for almost a decade after that, continued to slide until essentially it was taken over, almost like a hostile takeover. But that church never was able to regain its footing, and it was never able to regain that momentum. I'll never forget that when the decision was made not to continue to press forward, that the church started to slide, that it was never able to get out of on its own. It essentially required an artificial injection of people in order to regain its footing. That pastor never saw that again. While I was on staff there, I never saw it again. Other staff members never saw it again. It continued to slide. Remember this, when you are leading change, and change matters, God has not called you to a church to mark time. There's no such thing. God has not called you to a church simply to remain stable. There is a pressing forward, a carrying out of that mission, and we're constantly moving forward. You never want to wear people out, but you also have to fan that flame. That's exactly what Paul tells Timothy, fan the flame of your faith. And so the pastor is a change agent. You are that transformational leader. You are that shepherd. You are that elder. You are that overseer. You have the responsibility as that physician of the soul, as that overseer, to facilitate growth. That's going to come in the type of leadership that you carry out. That's going to come when you give that prescription, if you will, of Scripture. You're going to need to lay out a plan, almost like a teacher lays out a teaching plan. Remember, you know, the old adage goes something like this: if you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time. There is an idea, a vision that has been given to you by God. Now, I don't mean something like ethereal by that. That vision we see is faithfulness to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. It's faithfulness to the carrying out of the Great Commission. That vision, that idea, continuing forward in greater faithfulness, is an idea that is going to be facilitated, at least in part, as an overseer. So remember this, Pastor. The church is not going to be perfect. The church that you serve is not going to be perfect. And God is going to use you to move that church to greater faithfulness. And yet, it all rests on the will of people. But you have a responsibility, not just to maintain, not just to mark time, but to lead people as a shepherd, as an elder, as an overseer. You're leading them to be more like Christ. I remember a friend of mine who was a pastor, and he was ready to quit. In fact, he did. He walked away from this particular church because the church was not where it needed to be. And my argument to him was always, that's why God sent you there. The church is not where it needs to be, but that's why God sent you there. Paul talks about this to the church at Ephesus when he said that the preaching of the word, the ministry of the word, it is that which the Holy Spirit uses to wash and to sanctify that church. And so as the pastor, remember, you are not just to be there to mark time until the church dies. You're not just to be there until you entertain them, until you preach their funerals. You have a responsibility to function as that change agent. So why does change matter in a church? It matters because you've been given a mission by God. It matters because you have been called to be found faithful as a change agent within your church, as a pastor. Why does change matter in a church? Because you can't expect greater faithfulness to come by continuing to do what you've already proven won't work. Let me say that again. You can't expect greater effectiveness to come by continuing to practice what you've already proven won't work. Remember this, you're already seeing what you have been set up to accomplish. And I know you say, Dr. Shamblin, our folks are very resistant to change. Yes, I understand that. But your responsibility is not to just keep things the same because it keeps the peace. Change is costly, but failing to change is even more costly. In Appalachia, the average church is about 40 or less. And there are churches closing all around Appalachia. The most recent statistics are that in America, the most likely to go to church are the younger generations, Gen Z, the millennials, even Gen X. The least likely to go are your boomer generation. Now, that puts us in a difficult circumstance in Appalachia because Central Appalachia is one of the oldest populations in the nation. And so you're going to seek to reach that boomer generation. And yet, if you fail to reach the Gen X and Gen Z and millennials and all the newer, younger generations, if you fail to do that, then it'll be the last person out, turn out the lights of the boomer generation. Change is costly, and you don't ever want to be reckless in your change. But yet, you failing to change, or at least attempting, and you're going to bring up things and try some things that are not going to work. My advice to you is when you find something that doesn't work, stop doing that thing. If it doesn't work, don't continue doing it. Maybe it needs tweaked, maybe it needs forgotten, but don't continue to do things that won't work and that you're so stubborn in pressing forward with that you're proving that it's not going to work, and yet you won't relent. You won't turn back. The purpose of change is not disruption. That can and almost certainly will be, at least in part, a byproduct. But the purpose of the change is to lead the church to greater faithfulness to the Lord. When you change, you're going to need to lead others. You're going to need to bring them along. I remember when I was working on my PhD, I went to a synagogue. I had to go to a cultural gathering that was different than my own. And living in Appalachia, that's kind of a tall order. And so I went to a Shabbat service. I called ahead and they welcomed me. And I went to a Shabbat service and the rabbi was reading from the scrolls. And yet everyone in the congregation had a Hebrew Bible and they're reading along. And I would notice that as the rabbi was reading, he would look up. And in a later interview, I asked him, I noticed you were looking up. Hebrew has this cadence. And as you were moving through the passage, you would look up. And he said, yes. He said, because we needed to move together. This is about community. And so I would look up to know if I needed to slow down, if I needed to speed up in order to keep the congregation together. Pastor, when you are leading change, the purpose of that change is not just disruption. That can be the byproduct. But the purpose of that change is to greater faithfulness. And so when you look into a culture, church culture is already slightly resistant to change. And I only say slightly because I'm trying to be nice. Appalachian culture is even more so resistant to change. And so you need to make sure that you're bringing other people along. So you're going to, at first, amass some small wins. I was serving as an interim pastor to church, and I really needed to show the church that they could still reach people. And so we set up some tasks that really were easy to accomplish, but it was able to start that little fire that we were able to fan in order to accomplish more things. It adds credibility if you can amass some small wins. And so you're trying to bring them along and you're proving that you are a leader worth following. And amassing some small wins does that. But remember, the goal is greater faithfulness. You want to bring people along, but I would say to you, remember, not everybody's going to come along. There are some folks that are not going to come along. We see that even in the New Testament within churches. Remember this, when we're reading the letters of the New Testament, these are churches that are being called to greater faithfulness. It's not a rejection of where they are. It's an affirmation of where God is calling them to be. And so when we think about the importance of change in a church, change matters in a church because we've been given a mission by God. Change matters in a church as a leader because you have a stewardship in which you want to be found faithful. Change matters in a church because you cannot expect greater effectiveness in the church if you are continuing to do what you've already proven won't work. And so when we think about change in Appalachia, remember this, the churches in Appalachia are smaller. The average size church in Appalachia is somewhere between 35 to 40, and the truth of the matter is anything outside of that is by a long shot the exception, not the rule. Your church may not be a mega church. That may not be what God has called you to. Not every church has been given the task to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But you have been called to be faithful in the area in which you have been planted. And a fear of losing what you have is a really common fear in making change. A lot of churches are resistant to change because they already know that they don't have a lot, and they're afraid if they make changes, they may lose what they already have. But I will say this to you. If you are not pressing forward, you are already losing. Let me explain to you what I mean. There's a book out. It's called Help, My Iceberg is Melting. And it's really kind of a little parable about these penguins who live on the iceberg, and they're afraid to change. Well, one of the penguins dives off of the iceberg, and he sees that, okay, what's on top of the iceberg is not melting away, but what is under the water is melting away. Well, when the penguin jumps back on top of the iceberg, the other penguins are very resistant to any idea about change. And it was difficult for him to convince them. Remember, leadership comes at the will of other people. And so there's an expectation and a responsibility to lead that change. And part of that is that you have to teach them that staying where you are is more costly than going where you need to go. So as a leader, you have an incredible responsibility that people may look around and not see that they're losing, but every day, every year, as they age, they're becoming less capable of reaching into the community. And so there is no time to reach that community like now. And so you have to use what you have, and it may not be the greatest, most effective outreach, but try something. Staying where you are is far more costly than at least attempting to go where you need to be. There's within Appalachia a confusion of tradition with biblical principles. Tradition's not a bad thing, but it's a means to an end. It's not the end. When you look in many churches in Appalachia, and really probably around the nation, there are parts and pieces and traditions that have become enshrined as the very means by which we function. I remember pastoring a church, and we were preparing for Christmas, and I went to the attic. I'm the only staff member, and I go to the attic of the church to find some of the Christmas decorations, and literally, it was packed full of all kinds of junk. There was a lady in the church whose son had taken his own life at a young age, and she had donated his artificial Christmas tree to the church, and his passing had happened decades before. Well, that poor tree had been put up for years and years and years, and it was literally duct taped together. It looked awful. It was falling apart. And so I threw it away. So many folks in the church were so upset because I threw it away. Oh, you could never do that. They had enshrined literally a duct taped Christmas tree. And I went to the lady who had lost her son, just to talk to her about why. And before I could even start, she said, "Pastor, I'd heard what you did." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "That needed to be done years and years ago." You see, she was an incredible Christian lady, still is to this day. And she recognized that that tree represented something, an idea about her son, and people were trying to be kind, but they had enshrined this as some type of weird memorial that she didn't even acknowledge. Well, the moment that she said those words, I knew I'd made the right decision. Remember, in Appalachia, sometimes tradition and biblical principles can be confused. But that cannot be the thing that stops the church from moving forward and stops it from growing. You got to lead with Bible in hand. Biblical principles must lead the way. And it's going to take time, because in many churches, that tradition, those ideas have reigned supreme. And so it's important that you're going to lead with the Bible, not in an unkind way, bringing others along. And this is going to take time. But remember, why does change matter? Whether it's in Appalachia or anywhere in the nation, why does change matter in a church? Because you have a mission given to you by God. The very position that you have as a pastor is that of a change agent, that is a transformational leader, not marking time, not just trying to keep people comfortable, but move them on mission so that lost people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that disciples can be made. God has not placed your church in the community in order to be a placeholder. God has your church in the community in order to see lost people, whether it's in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth, come to faith in Christ. Change is costly, but doing nothing is even a greater cost. So, brothers and sisters, I would encourage you that as we think about this new season of the Level Paths podcast, we have a responsibility to be found faithful in our generation. I really appreciate you taking time to listen to this podcast. I pray that it is helpful to you. If there's anything that we can do to help your church become more effective, let me encourage you to reach out to Tri-State Bible College. Reach out to me, matt.shamblin@tsbc.edu. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to help you lead your church into a greater time of effectiveness in reaching Appalachia with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If you've ever been to a parade or a football game, you've seen what marching bands do when they come to a complete stop. They still move their legs in such a way that it looks like a march, and it's called marking time. Thing is, they're not going anywhere. This might be okay for a marching band, but when a church gets into a pattern of marking time, it's actually counterproductive. If you're a pastor or maybe a ministry leader in your church, don't get stuck marking time. God has given you a mission. Make sure you don't confuse tradition and biblical principle in such a way that honoring the traditions of your church become a disservice or a move backwards to the people in your community who need to hear the gospel, accept Jesus, be baptized, and then be discipled. Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource, and if you need more information on the topic of this Level Paths episode, you can reach out to Dr. Matt Shamblin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email, matt.shamblin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.